comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And I'm here because you have a right to know. Now, we have lots of new listeners in the audience tonight. I want to welcome you and tell you that I hope you make a habit out of this. It's a great habit to get into. If you've got to get addicted to anything at all, well, this is a good addiction. It won't hurt you, and it costs you nothing. And it might actually help you. Because we have so many new listeners, some of you will not have heard that we have a free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files, and I invite you to subscribe. Now, we send it out on Friday. We begin right after the show on Friday night sending out the K-Files. That means tonight is K-Files night. So if you haven't subscribed, you have the opportunity to do so right now. Before we go any further, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click on that big link right in the middle of your screen that says K-Files. Enter your email address. Now, you'll get a confirmation email. It has a link in there that you have to use to activate your subscription. And then that's it. It's absolutely free. And I think you'll like it. It is a very, very good publication. At least that's what people who get it tell me. And we try to make it interesting for you each and every week. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Also, we have a members area. So if you're new and you don't know about that, listening to the show live is free. But what if you miss the show? Well, you can get into our archives called the K-Pods if you're a member. If you are a member, you can get to the K-Pods. As a member, you get your own profile page, friends page, your own blog, a library of free e-books, a video galaxy of videos to watch. And what else? Chat forums. You get chat and forums. You get member support. You get special broadcasts. All kinds of things. And it costs 23¢ a day, $6.95 a month. Best value on the planet. Be sure that you are a member. But look, it's free to listen. Absolutely free to listen to the show. And if you want all the goodies, well, it's the exorbitant sum of 23¢ a day. Tonight, we are going to explore a concept many fear to explore, and we're going to ask questions that many fear to ask. I'll explain to you why people are afraid, many people are afraid to even explore this concept. I'll explain all of that to you in detail on the other side of this break. We have a break coming up and in just a few seconds. And then we're going to get into looking at the concept of going back to Mars. Going back to Mars? Yes, going back to Mars. Is it possible that we have already been there? Is it possible that there have already been manned space missions to Mars? We'll find out. We'll be right back. You are indeed listening to The Kevin Smith Show, and tonight we are going to be exploring a concept, several concepts, that a lot of people fear to explore. Those of you who are members of The Kevin Smith Show and are watching, and you watch each night, you know that during the opening video, the intro to the show, that comes up on the screen. It says, exploring concepts many fear to explore. And the next thing it says is, asking questions many fear to ask. And that's not just bravado, and it's not in any way just cliches. Those of you who have followed the outrage over the article that I published along with Robert Morningstar know exactly why now many fear to explore. You see, in the UFO world, and we often say the UFO community, but it really is not. It really is not a community. There are some communities within the UFO world, but there is not some big umbrella UFO community. It doesn't function like that. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't act like that. And within that UFO world, the people who say that they are interested in UFOs, there is every type of individual that you find in general society, up to and including actual nutcases. And so what happens is, in that world, norms develop. And there is a status quo for the UFO world. There are certain holy cows, sacred cows. There are certain untouchable, unapproachable concepts and theories. And anyone who, you know, and everybody in that UFO world talks about how the rest of the world cannot think outside the box. But anyone that steps outside their box, the wrath of demon gods comes down upon them. And so for that reason, there are a great many talk show hosts that do fear to explore certain ideas. And I think the reason is because they're very concerned about ratings or something like that. I don't do this for ratings. If the ratings are good, and they are, fine. If the ratings go to hell in a handbasket, fine. I'm still going to be me, and I'm still going to do what I do. Now, we're going to be exploring tonight a concept that many people in this UFO world would immediately brand as, that's nuts. And I was talking with one of the grand visitors of the UFO world, and I was talking about this concept, and his response was, well, I've never heard anything like that before in my life. There's no evidence at all to support that. Well, first of all, if you've never heard of it, so what? I mean, wasn't there a time before you had ever kissed someone of the opposite sex? Does that mean it doesn't happen because you hadn't experienced it? You haven't experienced it? I've never experienced it, so it must not be real. You need to get out of the sandbox and onto the beach. The other thing is this. He said, I've never heard anything like that in my life, and there's just no evidence to support it. All right? I can accept the fact that you don't know the evidence. I can accept the fact that you haven't heard the evidence. But do you know everything already? Have you heard everything already? Are you God? Isn't it just possible that there are a few things out there that are very real that you haven't heard about? Aren't there possibilities. Isn't it possible? There are a few things out there that you've never experienced. I can guarantee you I've experienced things you haven't. I guarantee you you've experienced things I haven't. That's the nature of life. But because of the outrage of the righteous in the UFO community, whenever you bring up something that is really outside their box, outside their little domain of experience, they just unleash outrage on whoever brings it up. And so for that reason, there are a lot of hosts of talk shows, good hosts, but they fear to step outside the norms, what everybody's already talking about. Well, what everybody's already talking about, I've already heard, and so have you, and that's boring, don't you think? How about let's talk about something tonight that everybody's not talking about and has not already heard about? How about let's consider the possibility that an old, long-time rumor might actually have some evidence. Now, what I am talking about when I say that the outrage of the UFO poobahs will rain down against you, and it will, I'll get it, what they'll do is they'll take what I say here tonight and they'll say that I said this is true, this is a fact, that I'm promoting this theory. And that's because they have very, very, very microscopic amounts of gray cells. And because I'm not saying that, and I'm not promoting the theory, what I am doing is I'm bringing the theory up. I think you ought to know about it. You've heard me talk about it a couple of times this week here on the show, and it is the theory that there have already been manned missions to Mars. And there is some pretty good evidence that points that direction. I can't say it proves it, but it points that direction. And always there is the possibility other evidence could come up that would nullify this. But the evidence, as it stands at the moment, points in the direction that perhaps we have already had manned missions to Mars, and that may be what's playing in the background behind the very odd decisions made by both this administration with regard to space and by NASA with regard to space. Very odd decisions. That may be what's playing in the background. So here's where it begins. Well, it's not where it begins, but it's where it begins for our discussion tonight. I have interviewed an Italian journalist on this show by the name of Luca Scantamburlo, and I know I don't pronounce his name right, at Scantamburlo. He is a member of the Freelance International Press, and he's based in Rome. And Luca has released an article in the form of a press release in which he tells quite an amazing story about a contact he has who has been giving him a lot of information. And we'll work backwards through this press release and then through some other evidence. When I say we're going to work backward, I want to read his last comments before we get into the press release. He says, "So far, I neither know if the story told me is authentic or even only partially authentic, nor do I understand the origin of the news. Are they from a reliable source? However, I think because of the verifications and clues I have found, this testimony is worthy of introducing to the public and is in the public interest to discuss it." So that's what we're going to do. And here's the core of the information. The core of the information goes like this. A person contacted him and gave him information about manned missions to Mars. And this person also provided at least one photograph, which he says is Buzz Aldrin on the surface of Mars. Now, right about here, there's a certain portion of the audience chuckling, clicking their tongues, throwing their hands in the air, and saying, "This is nuts. I'm going somewhere. I got to go listen to something that makes sense." Okay, bye. Now, for the rest of you, this guy giving this information to Luca provided him with his real name. Luca was able to verify that's his real name. This guy provided a brief resume of his military service. Luca says it appears to him, there are some things whited out, and he said it appears to him this person was in a military service in Europe. And he said he was not going to publish the name of the country just yet, but a European country. But had been involved with some really top secret stuff to the point that he was able to get this picture and knew this story. And the picture comes from a video in the possession of someone at Area 51. And so the photograph, which our members will see in just a moment, this photograph is a camera shot of what was on the video screen. So it's like a still shot of the video, but it's taken with a camera. The story that this individual told Luca goes like this. That there was a joint U.S. and USSR, Soviet Union, program, space program. The first men to land on Mars landed in 1970. And those first men to land on Mars were, according to this person, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. And in this case, Buzz Aldrin was the commander of the flight. There have been, according to this source, it's not my source, it's Luca's source, there have been, according to him, 13 manned space missions that took place in the 70s for the purpose of building a stationary base on Mars. The project was called Project Red Sun. Now, this is an important date because Project Red Sun, according to this person, was born in 1960. And it came to fruition in 1970. That's about the right period of time. Would take about that long to put this together. This project would have been developed on the basis of a former project called Project Horizon. That means it was older than 1960. Project Horizon was. And the purpose of Project Horizon was to build a stationary base on the moon. Now, we've all heard about that. I had not heard it called Project Horizon, frankly, but some of you may have. But I've heard about that there was a joint USSR and USA mission in which there was a base built on the moon. And that this happened, actually, I heard that it happened in 1962. But it may have started before then. Now, this rocket that was used for the first manned Martian mission, according to this source, was a modified Saturn V. And it launched three astronauts toward Mars in 1970. Two of them we named Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, according to this source. and it landed on the red planet. The following missions did not use a Saturn V rocket. They used a Saturn VIII rocket. Did you even know there was a Saturn VIII? The Saturn VIII is more similar to the space shuttle. Doesn't look like the Apollo. It's more similar to the space shuttle. All right, so that's the basic story that Luca published. Now, when he published this, and I read it, things started clicking in my mind. I started thinking about things I had read over the years. I started thinking about things I had seen on videos and heard on radio over the years. And this story that Luca is trying to share with us, he says, of course, he can't verify that it's authentic. But the story has some authentic things in it. And we're going to talk about those authentic things here tonight. First and foremost is for you to understand that the desire of NASA to go to Mars has been contentious. Some in NASA want that to happen. Some don't. Do you know the person who was pushing that the hardest was Wernher von Braun? Do you have any idea when Wernher von Braun began planning a mission to Mars? Any idea at all? It was in 1952. 1952, Wernher von Braun began planning a mission to Mars. Now, over the years, before they really got serious about this, and they did indeed get very serious about it, as I will explain and as I will show those who are watching. Before it really got into that excessively serious heavyweight stage, Wernher von Braun changed the plans, the proposals, several times. But then it seems to have settled in. More about that when we get back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about the possibility that this whole thing about going to Mars has already been done. Wernher von Braun began planning a mission to Mars in 1952, and the plans changed several times, two or three times, between then and 56, but then it began to settle in. And how did it begin to settle in? Well, it began to settle in because he was proposing that nuclear rocket engines be used for the trip to Mars. And you might say, well, you know, we don't have any nuclear rocket engines. Au contraire. We most certainly do. We certainly did. There was one that was not a NASA engine. It was a Department of Energy engine, and it was called the Nerva. The Nerva actually was built. Now, we've had Stanton Friedman on this show. Stanton Friedman has been my guest several times. He's a nuclear physicist. Stanton Friedman was involved in research and development and the building and successful testing of nuclear rocket engines. Well, this is a nuclear rocket engine. I do not know if this rocket engine, the Nerva, I don't know if this engine is the one that he was working on. But this is a Department of Energy nuclear rocket engine. It develops 266, and I think that stands for kilonewtons of propulsion. It was proposed for use in Saturn. Now, the source that Luca is talking to us about in his article said that, in fact, a modified Saturn V rocket launched these three astronauts to Mars in 1970. Is that even possible? Well, with nuclear rocket engines, it is. And did we have them? Well, this one was ready and was proposed for use in the Saturn V rockets in 1961. So did we have the capability? Yes, we did. Was that capability proposed for use with a Saturn V rocket? Yes, it was. And so, you know, right there, the story that Luca is sharing with us, that was provided to him by his contact, right there is a point of possibility. See, we hear things that don't fit what we know, and we think it can't be. We have to understand, you know what you've been allowed to know. You know what they, the ubiquitous they, have allowed you to know. Now, none of this stuff is, none of what we're talking about here tonight is anything that's classified information that's been out there. But a lot of times, even if you know it, you don't string it together. Like I didn't. I didn't string any of this together and say, well, that looks like a possibility. I didn't do that until I read Luca's article. And yet, everything that I'm going to talk with you about here tonight is something I have read in the past. This is not new information, but Luca's article provided some things that sort of stuck these things together and made it appear to be very, very possible, that it really could be, it's possibly true. So we have Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. They did the flight to the moon and walked on the moon. Wernher von Braun said it's been reported that he said that the Apollo mission, all of the Apollo missions, were just stepping stones, testing technology so that we could go on to Mars. So here's the team that first got to the moon and walked around on the moon. And then in 1970, according to the story by Luca Scantamburlo, in 1970, the same two guys get sent over to Mars. And as I said, he provides a picture that was provided to him. And this is ostensibly a picture, it purports to be a picture, of Buzz Aldrin on Mars in a secret 1970 military mission. One of the things that people say is, well, if we launched any kind of mission to Mars, those things are public. Well, no, they're not. I mean, when is the last time you saw news coverage of a rocket launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base. They launch more into space than Cape Canaveral does. You get to see what gets launched at Cape Canaveral. You never see what's launched at Vandenberg. But this mission in 1970 was not launched from Vandenberg either. According to the source, this mission in 1970, the mission to Mars, was launched from, are you ready for this? A very isolated, extremely isolated launch base in Brazil. Haven't you always wondered, and in fact, I can remember the years, all those wonderful years of the old Art Bell Show, remember that? And remember how there was discussion about all of the strange things going on in Brazil and the stories about NASA personnel showing up at these strange happenings? Didn't you wonder, what's NASA doing in Brazil? I wondered. Well, it would make sense, wouldn't it? Their presence there would make sense if they had a launch base there. And maybe they do. I don't know, but maybe they do. Now, this story by Lucas Cantamburlo says, his source says, that they do and that that's where this was launched from. This space mission was a joint NASA and Department of Defense and Soviet Union space mission, the one to Mars. So it would make sense that they would want to do this, all for all kinds of reasons, they would want to do this at an extremely remote, isolated launch base. And I remember Art Bell talking about that all years ago. I remember Art Bell talking about the stories about NASA personnel showing up, for instance, at some of the Chupacabra situations. Remember? And people were thinking that maybe this was some kind of a lab experiment at NASA that got loose, the Chupacabra. I'm sure you remember those discussions, but I kept wondering, what is NASA doing in Brazil? That makes no sense to me. What is NASA doing in Brazil? Well, another little thing there in this story by Lucas Cantamburlo. Lucas' story had another little thing just pop up that said, wait a minute, that sort of connects up with something else that we've heard about. We've heard about Saturn V rockets, but the question was, how could you modify a Saturn V rocket to make it take a crew to Mars and back? Well, the way you modify it is you turn it into a nuclear-powered rocket. And did we have that capability? Well, yeah, I showed it on the screen here. We had that capability in 1961. And it wasn't just on the drawing boards. They actually built the thing. And people who are watching are looking at a picture of it right now. That is a Nerva nuclear rocket engine built by the Department of Energy and proposed for use in Saturn rockets and Rift configurations, and I don't know what Rift is. I didn't even look it up. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. Now, again, those who are watching, during the break, you saw film clips, you saw video clips of Buzz Aldrin talking excitedly about let's go to Mars, and by the way, there's a monolith over there on the moon of Mars, as though he's seen it. He doesn't say he has, but he sure sounds like he's seen it. He's pretty excited about it. And the very next video clip was astronaut Gene Cernan. Now, let's talk about that for a moment. Astronaut Gene Cernan was upset when the Obama administration canceled plans to go back to the moon. He was upset about that. And he was appearing on a national news program to talk about it. And he had given his opinion that, you know, we're being relegated pretty much to, when it comes to space, we're being relegated pretty much to the status of a third world country by this decision of the Obama administration. And so he's pretty tough about his opinion there. The news anchor says, well, I'm sure that you know that not all of the astronaut corps feels as you do, because here's a statement from Buzz Aldrin. And he reads a statement from Buzz Aldrin in which Buzz Aldrin says that he supports the president's decision. We don't need to go back to the moon. We've already been there. That's what he said. And then he goes on to talk about that we need to, you know, be going farther and faster. Okay, so Buzz Aldrin, they read a statement from Buzz Aldrin where he says, we do not need to go back to the moon. And then they asked Gene Cernan, astronaut Gene Cernan, so what do you think about that? His response was, well, Buzz Aldrin and I have disagreed on several points from time to time, and we've agreed on certain points from time to time. And then he lists some things that Buzz Aldrin thinks we need to do that Cernan also agrees with. In that list, he says, Buzz thinks we need to go back to the moon, and I certainly agree with that. I'm sorry, he doesn't say that. He says, Buzz says we need to go back to Mars, and I certainly agree with that. Now, when I first heard this, folks, when I first heard it, I thought he intended to say, Buzz thinks we need to go back to the moon. And I really didn't think about it much. I thought he just misspoke. But then when I backed off and thought about this, this happened in 2010. When I backed off and thought about this after I read Lucas' story, it hit me. He could not have been meaning to say Buzz thinks we need to go back to the moon, because what he's responding to is Buzz's statement that says we do not need to go back to the moon. He said Mars because he meant Mars. We'll be back right after this. You certainly are listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and we certainly are talking about the possibility that when we talk about going to Mars, we need to be talking about going back to Mars. It may be, in fact, a possibility. Back to the story of the two astronauts. You have Buzz Aldrin appearing on C-SPAN in 2010, responding to the president's decision to cancel NASA's return to the moon program. So the president has canceled going back to the moon. Buzz Aldrin says, good deal. We've already been there. We don't need to go back. Let's go to Mars because there are things to discover there. Did you know, he says, he's very excited. He says, did you know that there is on that tiny little moon of Mars a monolith? A big structure. Those are the words he used. And he's very excited about it. So he said, no, we don't need to go back to the moon. Now, Gene Cernan appearing on another news program, responding to the president's decision, is told that Buzz Aldrin has made this statement that he agrees, we don't need to go back to the moon. We're not going back to the moon, and Buzz says, we don't need to. We've already been there. And let's go do some exploring. Let's move out. And he suggests going to Mars. All right, now when Cernan says that he and Buzz have disagreed on some things in the past, he says, but we have also agreed on some things in the past, and he says, I know Buzz thinks this, he thinks this, he thinks this. Buzz thinks we ought to go back to Mars, and I certainly agree with him in that. And he says, Mars. It's not a slip of the tongue where he meant to say moon, but said Mars, because he's responding to Buzz having said, we do not need to go to the moon. So he's not saying, I know Buzz thinks we need to go back to the moon, because Buzz just said we don't. He said Buzz wants to go back to Mars. The anchor, you know, usually when someone says something that is, you know, if they say something on my show that I know what they mean, but it didn't come out the way they meant it, I ask them, do you mean thus and such? And they say, oh, yeah, that's what I mean. That's the normal thing that a talk host does. The network anchor was absolutely silent. No comment whatsoever. There was never a comment about it. There was never a clarification. There was never a nothing about it. There was a black hole of silence about it. I think he said it right. I think there's the possibility, anyway, that when he said Buzz thinks we ought to go back to Mars, and I support him in that, I think he's right. I think he let something slip that we weren't supposed to know, and that is that we have been to Mars. Not only have we been to Mars, if the story is true that Luca has been given and that he has published for us, if that is true information, then Buzz Aldrin was one of the astronauts who did go to Mars in 1970. Therefore, it would be in context whenever Cernan said, Buzz thinks we ought to go back to Mars. But this also indicates another thing. You know, some of the missions flown by NASA are of a classified nature. You know that. Sometimes they deliver a classified payload. Sometimes there are things that they are doing that, you know, the mission is classified. All you know is they're going, and you don't know what they're doing. We know that. But because of that, not all of the astronaut corps gets told what that mission is about. They are as much in the dark as you and me. Only those who need to know get to know. And when Cernan says, Buzz thinks we ought to go back to Mars, that would indicate that he and Aldrin have talked about this. That would indicate that Cernan was in the circle of need to know. Was he the third astronaut on that mission? We don't know. Was he perhaps not an astronaut on the mission, but part of the ground control crew for the mission? Is that a possibility? He certainly is in the circle of those who know, so I would assume he would be in the circle of those who need to know. Buzz thinks we ought to go back to Mars. When Wernher von Braun planned the Mars mission, he planned all the way to 1982. And what our audience on our TV channel are seeing now is the planning chart, the planning schedule for the missions all the way out to 1982. He was serious about this. He was very serious about it. Now this rocket configuration that was going to take these guys over to Mars was actually designed. I don't know that it was actually built, but if they went to Mars, it certainly was built, or something like it. The very first, earliest mission that von Braun thought that they could do or should do to Mars would be using the Apollo hardware, basic Apollo hardware. And what they were going to do is modify a Saturn V rocket, and then they were simply going to fly by Mars, okay? They were going to go around it and come back. Just like the first moon mission was fly around it and come back. And boy, everybody was excited about that. And a lot of people now forget about that because, you know, it was when the guys stepped out on the surface that everybody remembers. Okay, they were going to do this fly around in 1965. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that's before we had gotten to the moon? That is before we had even gotten there. It was the plan that six Saturn V rockets would be used to launch into space to assemble the Mars rocket in space. How about that? So did they do that? Did they launch all those Saturn V rockets? Well, we don't know. We have no way of knowing that. But what I do know is that by 1969, hardware for this was actually being built. By 1969, hardware for these modified missions going to Mars was actually being built. And the capsule, if you will, the modified larger capsule that was actually going to land down on the surface of Mars was apparently built. So what happened to it? Now some people will say, well, no, it wasn't built. Well, I found articles that say it was. It names a company that did it. That's what I was looking for here. I don't see that in these articles right now. But during this break, I'll see if I can find that for you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in the second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. My sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you from the first hour. Is it possible that when we talk about the possibility of a manned mission to Mars, is it possible that we ought to be talking about going back to Mars? In other words, has it already been done? I did find the name of that company. The Mars Excursion Model, that's the lander, the thing that will land on the surface of Mars, was designed by the North American Aerospace Corporation for Marshall Space Flight Center in October 1966 to 1967. The primary propulsion module was the definitive design of the 1960s for a nuclear thermal rocket stage suitable for interplanetary operations. So there you go. does it mean that they did it? Well, we don't know. We don't know if they actually did it. But what we do know is, here's the story coming out. A source is giving information to an Italian journalist, and the information is that there was a mission. The first mission was all of these missions are joint Soviet Union USA missions, and the story is that the first landing on Mars took place in 1970. And the two people who landed on Mars were Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, and that the mission was commanded by Buzz Aldrin. Of course, we know the moon mission that they were on together was commanded by Neil Armstrong. At least I think that's true. So they swapped positions. He describes the rocket system, and we know that such a rocket system was available. And you and I have never seen a nuclear rocket engine until tonight. Some of you maybe seen one, but most of us have never seen a nuclear rocket engine until tonight. And those of you watching on our TV channel, I showed you one. It's called the Nerva, actually built. And I showed you an actual photograph of an actual nuclear rocket engine called the Nerva. And that was in the 1960s it was available. In the 1960s. The article by Lucas Scott and Burlow says it was launched from a very remote, isolated launch base in Brazil. And I said, well, you know, we heard so many wild stories coming out of Brazil. Back in the days of the Art Bell show, we were hearing about Chupacabra incidents, and then NASA people showing up, and the people there in Brazil were speculating that perhaps this Chupacabra is some kind of a lab experiment gone bad at NASA. And the thing, whatever it is, got loose. Because NASA people, according to what we heard from those reports back then, NASA people were showing up to take control of these captured chupacabras. There were one or two that had been captured, according to some reports. And I know some of you remember those shows. They were riveting. I was on the edge of my seat. They were absolutely riveting shows. But here you've got, you know, there was the question, what's NASA doing in Brazil? Then here, now in 2011, here comes this article by Luca in Italy, from Rome, Italy, where his source says this mission was launched from a secret, remote, isolated launch base in Brazil. Well, there you go. If that's true, now we know why NASA personnel were present. Or at least why they could be. So the technology was available. Wernher von Braun, and I misspoke. He did not start planning the Mars project in 1952. He started in 1946. He began planning the Mars project. But in 1952, he began planning for this joint mission, apparently. Now, he had a counterpart in the Soviet Union, Korolev. And both Korolev and von Braun had come to the conclusion that the way to get to Mars was nuclear power. Now, don't you find it just a little bit interesting? Don't you find it just a little bit odd Think about this. Just got to the moon, had done a few missions where guys go to the moon. We had two more Apollo craft already paid for and at least one of them built, and then two more after that that were planned. But we've got two Apollo missions where they've already selected the astronauts. At least one of these is completely built and ready to fly, and the program gets canceled. Now, the excuse that NASA gave was, well, you know, it was budget concerns, budget considerations, because we had a budget cut. Yeah, they had a budget cut, but these were paid for already. This wasn't money that was still going to have to come out of NASA. These were already paid for. And just like that, the Apollo program is canceled, and no reasonable explanation for why. What's even more weird about that, true enough, we had, if the stories about going to the moon are true, beaten the Soviet Union to the moon in terms of man on the moon. But the so-called Cold War was still on, and the competition was still hot. And there were two really, really hot areas of competition, so we were told, between the Soviet Union and us. One was submarines. And man, did the Soviets have some fancy submarines. They had the best of the best, the sleekest, the fastest submarines around. The other point of competition had to do with things in space. Missiles, satellites, rockets, and space exploration. When we decided, just like that, to kill the Apollo program, don't you find it odd that the Soviets also stopped working on these nuclear rocket engines and how to get to Mars? Don't you find that odd? The Soviets quit too? Oh, well, the Americans gave up, so we can give up. Not on your life. Come on. That isn't the way the Soviet Union worked. That isn't the way the Russian people think. I'm not an expert on the Russian people, but I've worked with many Russian people. I've got friends all over Russia, personal friends, people I've worked with, and some I didn't work with, just became friends with them because they were there where I was working. That isn't the way the Russian people think, and that isn't the way the Soviet Union worked. Very, very odd. Now I want to take you back to Tesla. Nikola Tesla was absolutely the most brilliant mind of the 20th century, in my opinion. I'm not even sure that Nikola Tesla knew where he got all of his ideas and inventions from. He would visualize them. He would see it complete and working. He could see it as if he were watching it on a movie screen. Then he would draw it. If he drew it, a lot of times he didn't even draw. He just sat down and started inventing and told his assistants, do this, do that. And when they were through, he had the thing he had seen. A whole lot of Nikola Tesla's inventions were poo-pooed until he died, and then they were snapped up. They were picked up by the U.S. government, the papers. And now we're seeing some of the Tesla technology, so we are told, coming out in super, super high-tech stuff. I remember seeing on television, and this must have been 20 years ago or so, a guy in New York City who had invented a way to cancel out the noise of a car engine. So you wouldn't even need a muffler anymore. And with his device on the car, you start the car, and man, with no muffler, it's loud as heck, right? You flip a switch, absolutely silent. And they were talking about how this was going to be available all over America soon. Just like that, it disappeared. Just like that, it was gone. It disappeared. Where do you think it went? Has applications for stealth technology, doesn't it? And it disappeared. Now, let's remember those examples and let's come forward into the Apollo program. Apollo is designed as really a stepping stone. Those are test missions, testing out technology by going to the moon. It was a stepping stone for going to Mars. And just like that, the Apollo missions were canceled. You didn't see anybody else ever again. After we left the moon for the last time, you did not see any human again getting out of low Earth orbit. Over 40 years now, and nobody stepped out. You really believe that? You really think that's how it is? That's what we've been told. People say, well, we know this, we know that. You don't know Jack. You know what you've been told. I'm in the same boat. We're all in that boat. We know what we've been told. Do you really think four more missions to go for Apollo? Two of them, I think two of them were built, but I know for sure one of them was already built and it already had a crew ready to fly. Bang, it's gone. And nobody ever again got out of low Earth orbit. You think that is reasonable? Or is it possible those last Apollo missions were snatched and moved over to the military side, launched perhaps from Brazil, and perhaps this story about Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong going to Mars, perhaps it may be true. It may not be true, and I'm not saying it is true. I am saying that there is circumstantial evidence. I am saying that the circumstantial evidence is strong. But there could be other evidence that could come to the fore that would put a whole new light on this. And, I mean, that's entirely possible. I just think that when we look at all of that and take it together, it strings together a pretty good possibility that when Cernan said, I know Buzz wants to go back to Mars, it certainly points to the possibility that he was speaking the truth. Back to Mars. Not onward to Mars, back to Mars. Certainly possible. Is it possible that there could be secret launches we don't know about? Happens all the time. Is it possible that there could be secret technology like nuclear-powered rockets that we don't know about? Well, we know that they existed. We've heard Stanton Friedman talk about working on them and being around, is still in the project working on it when they did successful testing of the rocket engine. So we know it was possible. We know they had these. And I showed our members on the TV channel, I showed you a picture of a NERVA nuclear-powered rocket engine that was actually built. I mean, I showed you, it's not a mock-up. That is a NERVA nuclear-powered rocket engine. And that was in 1961. So is it possible that we had the technology to actually get these guys to Mars? We absolutely had the technology. In 1961, we had the technology. But this mission was supposed to have happened in 1970. Now, according to the Lucas source, there were 13 additional missions in the 1970s. And these 13 additional missions were for the purpose of constructing a permanent base on Mars. Is it possible that we have such a permanent base on Mars? Well, we've heard rumors about that now for a long time, haven't we? I don't subscribe to the idea that where there is smoke, there is fire. I don't subscribe to that because sometimes we think we see smoke when there is no fire. And so I'm going to put a disclaimer in this that some of you may say, oh boy, that deflates me. Here's the disclaimer. The disclaimer is all these things look like they hang together, don't they? But they might not. They might not. All these things, you know, it looks like I've connected the dots. And I have connected dots. But since we don't have all the information, we don't know if I connected all the right dots to the right dots. But it sure looks like a possibility. It looks like a possibility. Now, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. I'd like to know, and I'm serious about this, I want to know what you think about what we've talked about so far here tonight. I'd like to know if you think that this hangs together. I think it's curious. It's too early yet to be able to nail it down and say for sure one way or the other. But I think it's just curious that there are so many points in that article by Luca Scantamburlo. So many points that connect up with other things that we didn't realize were connected. Now, you've got an opinion, and I guess we're talking about opinions here tonight. You've got an opinion about this. We've talked many, many times about how NASA seems to be going overboard to obfuscate on certain things. They seem to be going overboard to misdirect us on some things, even to the point of airbrushing photographs. And look, we know they did it. It's provable. There's not any question. It's absolutely a fact. They have airbrushed pictures and airbrushed objects and structures out of those pictures before they release them to us. We know that. There's not any doubt about it. I understand that. Question is why? The question is why? Is it possible that this story about the astronauts actually landing on Mars back in 1970 is true? Now, maybe your opinion is, of course it's true. Maybe your opinion is, that's just plain nuts. That's crazy. And whatever your opinion is about that, I really would like to hear from you about it. Our telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us at 623-237-3814. Now, don't sit around and say, well, somebody else will do this. Somebody else will call in and ask a question. Somebody else will call in and give their opinion. What do you think about it? Because if this was done, ladies and gentlemen, it was done with your dollars. Those of you listening to me in Russia, if it was done, it was done with your rubles. What if you found out it's true? Would you be proud of the fact or would you be angry? What do you think? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
I was wondering, you had Stan Friedman on the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Previously.
Uh-huh.
Didn't he say that all his attempts were failures?
No. Are you talking about with the nuclear rockets?
Well, he was talking about, I believe at the time, a nuclear airplane.
I don't know about a nuclear airplane, but the nuclear rocket engines on this show, he described a successful testing of the nuclear rocket engine that he had worked on.
Do you have any idea how this would work on a rocket ship? I understand how a nuclear engine works on a submarine or a surface ship.
I really don't. You see, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't understand how even a chemical rocket works in space. What does it push against? You know, when it fires jets of compressed hot air to guide the spaceship, you know, to move it left, to move it right, to move it back down toward Earth or whatever. When they fire those rockets in space, what is it that propulsion is pushing against?
Well, I always thought it was in a vacuum, you would have gases escape and then the opposite and equal reaction.
Yeah, but in order to have an action reaction, you have to have resistance. The jet blowing a stream of gases out into space has to have something to resist those gases in order to move the ship. If there's no resistance, there's nothing to move the ship. But it works, and so I don't know how it works, because there is apparently not any resistance out there, but it apparently works.
Okay, let's just say it works, and you know, no, because obviously it does work.
It does.
The relationship with the United States and the USSR, although there's not a USSR now, mm-hmm. I always questioned that because they were our mortal enemies, and now they're launching ships for us. It seems like you can't believe the government, you know what I mean? And not our government, but just all governments.
Jerome, can you hang on through the break?
Sure, I can, Kevin.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this on our little way. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and on the telephone with me from Pennsylvania is Jerome. Let me say this before I bring Jerome back online with us. We had a call on the first-time caller line just as we went to break, and so we didn't take that. But first-time caller, you try again. We'll get you on here, okay? Jerome, we were talking about the fact that these rockets obviously work in space, and then you went on to something else, and I it slips my mind what you went to.
Kevin, what I was talking about was the relationship with our USSR.
Oh, yes.
And why would they even do it? You know, like if we're the enemy, why would they help us? And obviously, because we're not the enemy.
Do you know the name Averell Harriman?
No, I don't.
Averell Harriman was a very famous American politician and diplomat. And during the Cold War, you know, the Soviets were terrible. They were awful. They were out to get us, and we had to protect ourselves from them. And All the railroads in the Soviet Union were built by the Averell Harriman family.
Mm-hmm.
During all that period of time. I think the Cold War was a cover. I do think there were times at points where it was very genuine. Obviously, the Cuban Missile Crisis was serious. I think overall it was a ruse. And there were always, all the way through that Cold War, there were high-level points of cooperation between the Soviet Union and America. And let us not forget, they were our ally in World War II.
I see what you're saying about the cover story. Let me get back to the mission here that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And once again, this is just a belief, and it's an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You make a good case for them having gone, I know you're not saying that they've gone to Mars, but you make a good case that the scenario where they could have gone to Mars. Obviously, Mars is important. I think yesterday you had Joe Murado.
Joe Montaldo.
Yeah, and he based that there on a 23-hour cycle. Yeah, Mars and our bodies are on the same cycle as that and not on the Earth, 24-hour
mm-hmm.
cycle. I think there's a lot of truth that could be there, and you know, we never get the truth out, but I believe it's a possibility, a strong possibility that we are still there with a base on Mars.
Well, you know, we keep hearing that, don't we? We keep hearing that rumor from lots of different people, lots of different situations, different contexts. And we hear that there is a base on Mars. I've had more than one person as a guest on this show who has said, yes, there is a base on Mars. And some of those people are in positions where they certainly, I think, at least it appears to me, they could know. They're in a position where they could know. And they've said, yes, there is a base on Mars. When I look at this string of little bits of evidence sticking up out of the sand, it looks to me like it's entirely possible that this article written by Luca is accurate. I mean, I'm not saying it is accurate. I'm saying it looks possible to me that it is, and that 1970 may be the time when we actually put men on Mars.
Well, if we find out, it'll be a slip of the tongue, just like Buzz said about, you know, going back to Mars and stuff.
Yeah.
You'll have to be the one who points it out, because the regular TV people never will.
No, they won't. They sure won't. Joe, thanks for the call. I mean, Jerome, okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number. If you're a first-time caller, the number is 623-237-3814. All right? And let me just get those up on the screen for those who are watching. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Iowa.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Bob. Good presentation.
Thank you.
I still stick with my doubt of the Apollo missions. Although I do have seen those. Stan Friedman can probably even back this up. Those nuclear engines, whether they were used or not, I don't know. But one question I have for you is: there was a president, John F. Kennedy, with a few small words, created a nation that was more proud and bigger than anything on this planet. And now we have a nation that's a shadow of itself, and we spend trillions of dollars to bankers, but yet we don't have a president that has enough gall or foresight to see what a president did before that to say, hey, you know, if I'm going to spend $1 trillion, I'm going to get something from it, you know, and we're going to Mars and bring back this great nation and make jobs. And why keep it secret?
Well, look, let me tell you what I have heard in answer to that concept. What I have heard is this. The reason that he canceled going back to the moon is because it's not necessary. We're already on Mars. He knows it. He can't tell us about it yet, but he knows that, and he just doesn't want to waste the money to go back to the moon when it was a stepping stone to get to Mars and we're there. That's what I was...
I understand that. He said that we need to go to the Mars and or beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, I've even heard him state that fact.
So. Yeah, but what I've heard is that, and this is not any inside information. It's someone else's opinion. They were just reasoning it out. And they said, well, perhaps it's because he knows we already have a base on Mars. And we've got a base there. We don't need to be going to the moon. We don't need to spend that money that way. And so that's why he made that decision. Now, that doesn't mean that's true. That was someone's opinion. But who was just trying to reason it out like you and I are here tonight. And, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, but what, you know, the good it would do, you know, to make a nation part of it, you know, why are we, you know, for lesser words, the peons that don't get to know and a few know, you know, for what end, for what reason? Because of the aliens? Because, you know, I mean, what, you know, where's the golden ring?
What if that base on Mars is exactly what Laura Eisenhower has described? What if it is the elitist colony for escaping the calamities of Earth? If that's the case, certainly the president is on the guest list. But you and I are not. So, you know, this not telling us may be one of those let them eat cake moments.
Okay, I could understand that, and, you know, all these supposedly underground bases, and, you know, the rich get saved, and the rest of us are here to ride it out. You know, if that's the only reason why we went there to do that, then I can understand that, you know, to keep it secret. But besides something as, you know, as serious as that, you know, like I said, you know, Kennedy built the biggest nation in the world and the proudest people in the world by announcing some few words, you know, and, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? At the time, if all of this story is true, if the whole story is true, at the very moment when Kennedy said, we're going to the moon, we already had a base there.
Yeah. If you believe in that and stories and stuff.
I don't believe in anything. I just said if the whole story is true here, because part of this story is that Project Red Sun, the project to go to Mars and build a base on Mars, was fashioned after Project Horizon, an earlier project that built a base on the moon. Now, Project Red Sun, according to the report that Luca filed, Project Red Sun began in 1960. So Project Horizon would have had to been in the late 50s, mid to late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So if this whole story is true, we had a base on the moon at the time President Kennedy said we're going to the moon.
Yeah. But you're also talking that, we had the bomb in what, 45, and the Russians got it in 49. So, you know, I doubt if we were using any nuclear power at that time.
We had a nuclear... Are you watching the show tonight, or are you just listening?
Just listening.
Okay, well, I put it up on the screen, and you heard me mention it. We had a nuclear rocket engine functional by 1961. That's when we know we had it. It could be that we had it in 1958, 1959, 1960. We don't know. But by 1961, we had it.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. I don't know exactly whenever it was built.
Well, the picture that I put up was taken in 1961.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, the capability was definitely there. We definitely had the capability in 1961 to build a rocket that could go from here to Mars real quick.
Yeah. And what we would still be using, you know, keeping the masses stupid by continuing, or at least up until today, the shuttle, which used solid rockets and stuff, like we don't know, you know, any other better way, is all, you know, a guise.
Well, I think the NASA manned space flight is a guise, but I've supported it. I think it is a cover story for you and me and the rest of the public to keep us from being too curious about and looking too closely at the fleet of secret space vehicles that the military has. How do I know we have a fleet of secret space vehicles? I know it for sure. And the way I know it is because on the U.S. Army... hang on, and I'll finish this on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. On the telephone with me is Terry. You still with me, Terry?
Yeah.
All right. I know for sure that we have a secret space fleet. I know for sure. But I know it by inference. In 2000...
I believe you, that we do too.
I don't believe it. I know it. In 2000... on the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command website, they had a list of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command Army astronauts. They were not NASA astronauts. They were U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command astronauts. And they had an application on there. So if you're an Army flyer and you want to apply for the U.S. Army Astronaut Corps, you could apply. And I did a show about that from Kosovo.
Mm.
And, you know, I was looking around. I found it. If it was supposed to be something classified, then they shouldn't have put it on their website. They put it on their website. And I published the link in the K-Files way back then. And it wasn't too long after that they took that off of their website. But, you know, they've got these astronauts. What are they flying?
Yeah.
So I know for sure if they've got these astronauts and they've got applications, an application on there, so other Army flyers could apply to become one of these astronauts, they've got something to fly. Ergo, we have a secret space fleet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I believe that, you know, we would never, ever stop NASA or stop funding NASA if they were still relevant. And the only reason why we're not, even though they have a nice new spaceship, you know, and they're saying, hey, that's a nice new spaceship, but, you know, wait till you see what we roll out, just like they rolled out, you know, the stealth fighters. You know, I'm waiting for that day, and I think that's what's going to happen. You know, I don't think, you know, we're on the moon or we're on Mars or, you know, we could be with this new technology, but I think they're going to roll out this new technology, and then we're going to be using it. You know, and stuff starting, it's going to start to happen.
Well, you have to realize,
that's
Terry,
my opinion.
You have to realize that these missions to Mars were not NASA. They were NASA, partly. They were involved, but they were also Department of Defense. So there you have the extreme technology, and Department of Energy, again, extreme technology, way beyond NASA. So NASA was involved, but you have Department of Defense and Department of Energy. See, NASA did not build this nuclear rocket engine. The Department of Energy did.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Nuclear scientists.
Okay, and so that's why I say it's entirely possible that Project Horizon to build a base on the moon may have happened. It's entirely possible that this Mars mission may have happened. In fact, a total of 14 missions. The first one in 1970 and then 13 more through the 70s. That may have happened because it was not just NASA. NASA would have been used for their space expertise, I would assume. The U.S. military would have been used, the Department of Defense, for their extreme technology. Department of Defense for their extreme nuclear technology. And you put the three together, and what do you get? You get the possibility they could have done this.
Yeah.
That's as far as I can go. I can't say they did it, and I won't say they did it, but the possibility's there. And we certainly know they had the technology to do it.
Yeah, I have a hard time, you know, why keep it from us unless there's, you know...
Oh, well, look, they keep all kinds of stuff from us, man. They keep all kinds of stuff that... Look, they kept it from you that there was no such thing as genocide happening in Kosovo, and they told you there was, and there was not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean... they don't have to have a reason to lie to you. It's just sort of what goes with politics.
Yeah, as far as, you know, what goes in the world and stuff. But, mm-hmm. You know, this is well above that, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, leopards don't change their spots. Liars lie.
Yeah. I mean, they got fool people a lot smarter than me, you know. So, yeah.
Well, it's just in the nature of government to be secret all around the world. And, you know, they will say it's a cover story. A cover story is a lie. Now, I understand sometimes they need to do that. And, I mean, there are real reasons why they need to do that sometimes. But there are also a whole pack of lies they tell you every single day for which there is no legitimate reason other than... it's politics, and politicians pretty much have to lie in order to become a politician. Terry, I want to thank you for the call, man. I got to move on.
Yep.
All right,
thanks.
Bye. We got time for one call if you call right now. 623-237-3814 or First-time callers at 623. You know, I don't know why I do that. I gave it to you backwards. The regular number, 623-444-5889. First-time callers, 623-237-3814. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John in Mesa. A long time.
It has been a long time, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, that nuclear rocket for airplanes. I remember an article in Popular Science back in the late 60s where they were going to use nuclear rockets for a flying wing, supersized, that would circle the continental United States, and planes would just link up with it, fly up and link up like they used to on the blimps,
mm-hmm.
you know, in World War One,
mm-hmm.
and then the passengers would hop onto the big flying station until their time to get off, and then it would drop off of that and fly down, and it would save gas on that because it would be like the aircraft carriers wouldn't need fuel, would just fly and circle the whole United States.
Wow. And you saw this?
I may have that still, as a matter of fact.
And what magazine was this in?
Popular Science, back in the late 60s.
Wow. Yeah, the capability, I hear people say now, well, if we had that, we would have seen it. You know, a lot of people have tattoos in places you can't see.
That's fact.
Yeah. And so, you know, it is absolutely true. It's absolutely a fact that we had the technological capability in terms of nuclear rocket engines to have done this thing that the article that Luca wrote talks about. I mean, we absolutely had the technological capability to do it. John, I got to run. We're at the end of the show, man. Good to hear from you again.
All right. Good to talk to you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, there you go. We've explored a concept a lot of people wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. I think it is important. I think we should explore this concept because it appears that some of the dots sort of connect themselves. You don't have to work too hard at it to connect the dots when the dots connect themselves, do you? And at the same time, I have to say that additional information could come out that would tell us a whole different story about this. It would throw a whole new light on it. But we have to work with the data we've got, don't we? Well, that's it. That's a wrap for tonight. That's a wrap for this week. I appreciate you being with me for the Kevin Smith Show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.